As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
Hey, welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. From Odyssey's Nerd Talk, I'm your host, Gregor, and he used to work at Odyssey. Now he's just a guy making jokes on Twitter! He's Brandon from the internet. He does this for free.
Yeah, excuse me, and I'm drinking my water and in the middle of the intro, so impeccable timing as always, if I do say so myself.
Professionals! You know,
I do this for free, so I am technically not a professional.
That's true, that's true. I'll send you a dollar, okay? Yeah, I'll Venmo you. I'm going to send you some Bitcoin.
Oh, good. Yes, great.
We'll get to some of that here in a little while as well, because boy is there somebody doing something real dumb with Bitcoin that I can't wrap my head around.
I feel like it's, first of all, I know we're going to talk about it, but it's everybody that's doing anything with Bitcoin. It just all feels dumb to me. And that's like, right now I'm in the position of somebody, yeah, flipping me off. Yeah, you're dumb. No.
Did you hear I got a bird?
Realistically, I feel like I know that I'm the dumb one, but you know when you don't understand something? You don't understand something? I'm basically a 1980s high school bully. Like, I don't understand it, so I'm just...
Stop, tweed.
I'm just a jerk about it because I don't get it, you know? No, well, I'm not dumb. You're dumb.
We'll get to that here in just a little while. Now, neither of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain
yet.
But if you are, let us know what we get wrong, because I'm sure there's plenty of it.
Also, if you were a bully in the 1980s, and I just got that your entire, like, steez.
Oh, weird. My brother's calling me. This is so weird.
If I just got your entire steez wrong, because you're like, no, I got it. I was just still a dick.
Denied. There we go. Enjoy my voicemail, jerk.
Wait, was he actually calling you?
No. Okay. No. That would have been so cool, though, because there were such buttholes to me in the 80s and 90s or whatever, and the worst.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you could spread the word, tell a friend, maybe get a share, or just holler at us with your answer to this episode's question of the week.
Yeah, this episode's question of the week is real simple. Metric or imperial?
Followed by the 1965 is what you wrote.
Yeah, so. that's my 1975 cover band. We just do 60s. Boy. We just do like doo-wop versions of all songs by the 1975. No, okay. The reason I wrote that down there is because it was a number I didn't want to forget. I just learned that the UK didn't switch to using the metric system until 1965.
Oh,
so I had just assumed that like the U.S. And like the other two countries that use the imperial system, it's like us and like Ghana, I don't know, it's like, or Bolivia or something. It's like tiny, these other two, and then like the other one is like Tonga or something. Anyway, these like these three countries that still use it, I thought we were just the ones that were like, no, we're doing our own thing. And then I realized, and this is true, like if you ever like listen to British people talk about weighing stuff or like talking about things, it's always like, they mix in like stones and then like the weight of a stone, or they'll talk about like meters, and then they'll also talk about miles. You're like, what do you like, what, why are these things all mixed? So they've only been using the metric system for 50 years 60 years. They don't even know what they're doing.
I watched Formula One, and they communicate speeds. They say both.
Yeah.
Because it's the world feed, and so they say but the Brits always lead with the miles per hour because they still track things that way despite the fact that everything moved to metric. It's just they're still indoctrinated with that old school way of talking and thinking about it. So
I guess it makes sense, right? Like the system that we use in the US is called Imperial, and we didn't call it that because that's what they use. That's what Darth Vader used. We call it that because the great like British Empire is the one that established these original weights and measures, and so that's what we use now to this day. And when we overthrew that empire, we didn't switch to something cooler, which again we'll talk about in a little bit. But anyway, so what if you could, I guess the question of the week really is, if you're in the United States listening to this, and if you could switch to metric, I think it's a no-brainer. Obviously, it seems like a base 10 system of measurement makes the most sense, but also the British weigh things in stones. So I don't really understand what they're doing.
I like that they measure in metric. As a tall man, I'm 198 centimeters tall. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it sounds cool when you measure it in centimeters, but it's like, oh, you're only 2 meters tall.
Wait, hold on. I got to measure something else real quick. this ought to help my confidence go way up.
Okay, let's see. How many centimeters is four and a half inches?
No. Big moves this week from me, Brandon. I bought some more Bitcoin, and I bought a Google Nest Audio because you've got the Echo with the Amazon, and they dominate the market because everyone's got that. They were so smart about how they rolled that out. But I wanted to see, they had like a really big sale on the Google products, and so I bought one of the home ones, and just to see how much better or worse it is. And I've come to a conclusion. Have you used either before?
I should ask. Yeah, so we actually, my wife and I, when we first got married, had an Echo. Amazon one, and then we like very quickly realized that it didn't integrate with as many things at that time with mm-hmm. as the Google, and so we ended up getting the Google version, and have since then only used, we now have like one in a couple different rooms. We actually just bought a speaker, like a Bluetooth speaker. My wife's gonna have a baby. We wanted to have a Bluetooth speaker for the hospital, and so we bought one, and it turns out you can just use it as one of the Google things, which is amazing. So yeah, I use the Google one a lot, and we love it.
Okay, so then, you know, the whole world is, it's like people calling soft drinks Coke or tissues Kleenex or whatever. Like, no one ever says the Google Nest Audio.
Right.
That's like that's a terrible name.
I saw it in the run sheet, and I was like, is that the thing that I have? Like, what's the Google Nest Audio? I got a Google.
Yeah, and so I don't. It's hilarious to hear a four-year-old try and say it because his words don't come out so good.
Hey, Google Nest Audio.
Hey, Google. It doesn't understand him a lot. But if you tell it to play the animal of the day, it is the best. It'll entertain children forever.
Okay, first of all, it'll entertain Brandon forever because I literally do that every night.
I'm really curious to see what people think. Like, if I don't necessarily like the Google one better yet. I've only had it for a few days. But I do, there's like some weird AI stuff that goes on with it where the Echo, after you're done with your question, it's done. But the Nest hangs on a minute. So if you say like, who played Maverick in Top Gun? It'll be like, oh, Tom Cruise. And then you go, how tall is he? It understands context of conversation, and so you can keep adding on. With the Echo, they're like, he is a person that lived in the 4th century Chinese whatever.
And I'm like, he is 5 centimeters tall.
On a good day.
It's actually, I think that they all, at this point, all of these smart speakers can do a lot of things the same. For me, what I've done is, as a relatively new homeowner, it's been fun just to like set random things up in my house to be automated by it. So I could be like, hey, turn on my patio lights. And so I set up these string lights in the backyard and they're attached to a smart switch, and then it can turn on. And it's basically the only party trick I have when people come over and I'm giving them a tour of their house. And I'm like, check this thing out that literally anybody can do if they know how to use an app.
So my dad was, as a kid, he was like a timer or lights on timer. So that way when you came home, there'd be a little bit of light on and it wouldn't look depressing.
Oh, man,
and
he was ahead of the game.
Oh, absolutely. And I've done it my whole life. And so when my buddy first got one of these and was like, hey, you can like, you know, you could set timers and stuff. And I was like, I'm in. I don't even. So I replaced all the switches in my house with like the, not all of them, but a lot of them with the, I don't even know who makes them, but the adjustable switches. And then I can, walk downstairs. And I'm like, downstairs on 50%. And like, I get like, every morning when I come down at the same time-ish, because I'm a creature of habit, 10% light is on, and then I say good morning, and it turns the lamp on just to make it to step into the day or whatever. This is the dumbest conversation ever. But, like, it really is cool. You can plug in a lamp somewhere that you can't get to very easily, and if you put one of these switches on there, you can tell it to, you know, what to do without having to... It listens to every word you say for all of your life forever and can detect when you walk in a room.
Yeah.
And like then markets and sell stuff to you, but I don't have to bend over. So,
and I mean, this is basically how WALL-E starts, right?
Oh, good! I can't wait to fatten up and go to space.
Yeah,
yes,
and not be an astronaut, Jeff.
Speaking of going to space and whatnot, Disney released some glimpses into what we can expect from the Obi-Wan Kenobi series, including what appears through art to be a rematch between Master and former apprentice, Master of Evil Darth. No firm date has been set yet, but it looks like Anakin, Darth Vader, and Obi-Wan Kenobi are going to have some sort of lightsaber battle. They showed footage of Hayden Christensen practicing lightsaber stuff, and so he's getting back into shape of that. Of course, they'll film it where they're right next to each other and you can't make out what's happening at all, so it's like a wasted exercise in learning how to do this instead of having like a cool old-school samurai fight scene where they actually have distance and you watch it happen. Never mind that. But it looks like 2022 is the rough target for it to come out, so sometime next year we're going to see this. Thoughts?
Thoughts are that I hope that they basically what you were just saying about how it's like the new trilogy, not the new trilogy, I guess the prequel trilogy, right? Yeah. The prequel trilogy was all like twirling the lightsabers around and occasionally making contact, right?
My friend saw it on acid and was like, that was the weirdest movie I've ever seen.
I saw it sober and agree. And They twirl the lightsabers around and hardly ever make contact, or when they do, it's kind of imperceptible, right? You can't really tell how the battle, like, how are they defending themselves? How are they attacking? When you go back and watch the original trilogy, the episodes 4, 5, and 6, yeah, I mean, like, you watch, they're actually, like, sword fighting with lasers, right? and I do kind of hope that they would bring an element of that back in. Now, watching that footage of Anakin, or of Anakin, I don't know who Hayden Christensen is outside of that one character.
You're only Anakin.
Yeah. And so watching that footage, it seems like it's just back to the twirl it around a bunch and see what you can do with that. But anyway, I mean, it's Star Wars, so you give me 5 seconds and I've already got a space boner for it.
There's no George Lucas. There's no J.J. Abrams. There is Ewan McGregor. Like, the pieces are... I can't remember who's directing it to, someone cool. And so, like, the pieces are there to make something cool. We'll see if it happens or not. After the success of The Mandalorian and how they left it to be a little more sparse and a little bit, you could let the story play out in space a little bit. I have high confidence that it's going to be good. But these two guys, they're supposed to be, like, the best guys that the Jedi had. Like, I think about that all the time, that, you know, Jedi Master Obi-Wan Kenobi, Yoda was supposed to be the best, and then these other guys are just guys or whatever, right? But, like, I want to know what the lowest level Jedi were like, if that's the best that they got to.
Yeah, who are the guys that come in, like, because at the time of the Jedi Council at its highest peak, right? They were going across the universe, tracking the Force,
galaxy.
The galaxy, tracking the forest, like finding the midichlorians, you know, and trying to figure out which of these little kids across the galaxy had the potential to become a Jedi. Some of those, like, it couldn't have panned out for all of these kids that they found, right? Like, was it the end of one of the Star Wars, one of the newer Star Wars movies where they, like, show this kid who uses the Force to pull a broom into his hand, right? Like, maybe that kid was never able to, like, fully wield the Force to his pleasure, right? And so he just was, like, he just became, like, a... like, he rode the desk. He became, like, the desk jockey detective Jedi. Oh, that's what we need, is, like...
Detective Jedi?
Detective Jedi Noir.
Now, I want, like, The Office, only at the Jedi Temple.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I want, like, Michael Scott is just, like, a middle-level manager. He's, like, really good at, like, getting the council to do what he needs, but other than that, he's a terrible Jedi.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, they all have the same basic skills where you can, like, make the hot coffee fly over to you. You need some sugar? Send that over, whatever. But I want it to be, like, an interpersonal office relationship. This is what we need. We need a, like, a low-level Jedi sitcom show.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. They made that, what was the...
Single camera.
Yeah, what was the Star Wars Stories thing that they did the 9 episodes of...
talked about it in depth a few weeks
ago. Right, it was like an anime.
Did you watch it?
No, I still haven't watched it.
What?
I have no time to watch anything, okay? I'm going to have a kid soon.
Don't
and my entire
stop.
Life is dominated by, like, figuring
baby
out...
baby classes.
Yeah, basically 3 different classes of learning about A, how to help your wife push a baby out of her, and B, how to raise the baby once it's out of your wife. So
none of those classes prepare you for anything, just for the record.
Sweet.
It's like totally, it's like...
Oh, I feel super unprepared still, so I think I've already assessed
You know how to swaddle now? Don't worry, guy, you got this, you don't got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's okay, it's been that way forever, there wasn't baby class
but
before.
Anyway, we've gotten this, like, these, like, animated series of Star Wars, so yeah, let's get, like, the comedic spinoff, or I like the idea of the Office Jedi, and then I also want Detective Jedi, to be honest.
Yeah, you got a cop show. It could even be dark. I don't even care. Yeah. It could be serious or whatever. You got Detective Jedi, like, just on some planet, some backwater planet somewhere, and it's like his job to keep the universe safe, galaxy safe or whatever, right? You got that. Yeah, you got middling, low-level... like, entry-level Jedi.
Detective Jedi, you're out of line. Turn in your badge and lightsaber. You can have them. And then he goes off
Turn
on his own.
Turn in your badge and lightsaber. They cut his little Padawan thing off. Yeah. Now he's gone rogue.
Yeah, he's just like, he has a very bad alcohol addiction. And
you want to buy some death sticks?
Every weekend he's like shooting bog rats or whatever.
Yeah, it could be like The Wire.
Womp rats, sorry.
Yeah, it could be like The Wire, though, where you got, like, you know, dirty cops, and they're, like, still Jedi, but, like, you just, like, everyone just kind of accepts, like, oh, old McJedi over here, he's kind of a pain to the Force.
Oh, actually, I'm only into this if Idris Elba is Detective Jedi.
Great! Or someone ridiculous. I would also accept it. I want him to have a part in this or whatever, but, like, it could also be someone absurd. I'm all for that.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Okay, well, now we have to end the show because I have to go barf, so... Anyway. I think about this a lot, about what the low-level Jedi were like. All we ever saw was the best. I just want to see, like, just people that are, like, pretty incompetent, but, like, they're, like, good enough that they can stick around.
Yeah, like, what's, like, the new cut of the Star Wars, like, of the new Star Wars trilogy, where, like, everything that's happening with Daisy Ridley, with Rey and Kylo Ren, in the background there's just these other Jedis being like, whoa, wow.
Yeah, I just, that's what I want, man.
Yeah.
So, anyway, from one massive Disney universe to another, a Disney Plus day, because every freaking thing needs its own promotional day to get everyone together. Whatever. The Mouse dropped a whole ton of new Marvel news. A dozen series in all are coming to streaming, I guess. I gotta be honest, I'm only familiar with, like, a handful of these ideas in general, and beyond that, like, Marvel is tedious. It is so hard with everything being named sort of similar. Now, listen, I love Star Wars, so, you know, Pot Kettle Black, whatever, but I feel like it's spread a little too far. And so I'll go over some of the titles that came out that I immediately was like, okay, I at least know that, and see if it's any The first one plays to my childhood. X-Men 97 is what it's called, and it picks up from the classic X-Men era and just keeps running with it. The old cartoon show when I was like a teenager. I never really actually liked it very much, but would watch it because it was on.
I would just love to see Hugh Jackman coming back and putting on. I mean, I know it's an animated series, but I hope that they animate the X-Men 97 Wolverine to look like the Hugh Jackman version of Wolverine. And then I would love to see the real life Hugh Jackman wear that crazy, like, pointy Wolverine outfit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what that is. I anything with Magneto in it, I'm in.
Yeah.
Like, I think Magneto's the coolest.
Oh, by far. I mean, someone also Ian McKellen is the coolest.
Yeah,
did I tell you that when I was, I've only ever been to New York once, and there was one night where I was, because I've only been there once and I didn't know where to stay, I was there for work, I stayed in a hotel, basically.
We did a podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, we did when I was there. I stayed in a hotel, like, in Times Square, basically, which is the worst thing in the world. If you're ever going to New York, don't do that. And so I went to get a slice of pizza, and while I was walking down the street, I saw a
middling Jedi Michael Scott Brandon stopped at the Sbarro to get a slice.
Exactly. And I saw extremely drunk Ian McKellen walking outside, like he had just left a Broadway show, and he was like stumbling down the street with his boyfriend, like drunkenly singing the song. It was like his boyfriend and like his like grandkids or nephews, or I don't know, something like some young relative, like walking down the street. And I was like, holy smokes, I just saw drunk Gandalf singing Broadway.
Other series that they're going to drop, I Am Groot. I guess it's between him being reborn as that little baby Groot and growing into teenage and beyond Groot. I don't know / care, but I at least knew that character.
Yeah.
Spider-Man freshman year. So now we enter the wiener portion of the show where, well, I guess we already have been there. But freshman year, all I could think about is gym class boners. Yeah. So that's
that is my gym class hero spinoff band.
Speaking of boners, She-Hulk.
Okay, well, it's like, I don't, to your point, I don't really know what most of these, I know who Groot is. I obviously know who Spider-Man is. I hope that with the Spider-Man thing, what was that show, Pen 15? Did you ever watch that show?
No,
it was
but
like,
I'm familiar
it was about
it
like very
penis.
Awkward. Yeah, yeah, I'm familiar with penises. It was about like very awkward middle school, and it had these two adult women basically playing middle schoolers, and that was the premise of the whole thing. But I'm imagining like a very awkward Peter Parker. Like, it's not about his spider powers at all.
Hey, Mary Jane.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my spidey sense. Go away before I have to get up and present. But like, She-Hulk, I don't know the premise of this. I don't like, I saw
give
it in the trailer.
Credit, though.
What's his face? Mark Ruffalo was in it, so.
I'll give him credit because Marvel was always so far out on diversity. They always like took a step forward. And so you have like a lot of female characters. You have like a lot of, now I'm sure it was always secondary because it was still like the 70s or whatever. But I mean, even like Professor X being in a hover wheelchair, that's like cool for inclusivity to have that type of character. So
DC is like, no, we have diversity too. Batman's depressed.
And this guy, his name's Brandon, and everyone keeps cheering for him, so.
We have diversity, too. These guys are Republican.
Well, you don't find a lot of that in Hollywood.
It's,
so.
It's also Batman.
He's a billionaire. He's got to protect
that's
his
what
assets.
Yeah.
Titles that I have no idea about. Miss Marvel, Secret Invasion. Like, what? Agatha something or other. Ironheart. There's a few others, I guess, too. I didn't do the counting there, but like,
yeah, I don't know very many. Like, so I've just read the top line of all of these things. Again, we talked about this before. Marvel, like, it's just too much, right? Like, at the end of Infinity War, right, or whatever the last Marvel one was, the massive battle that happens is basically like thousands of superheroes versus thousands of Thanos' bad guys or whatever, right? And we're just adding to that, right? So, like, at some point, like, that's the thing that people always said would be the problem with Avengers, is that there's just too many stories. There's too many very strong people who, in each in their own comic book series or each in their own movie, are the most powerful superhero in that movie. Now you put all of them in the same movie, and then you just and then you're now just adding She-Hulk and Boner Spider-Man and Baby Groot. I don't like saying those things next to each other. And then, like, but anyway, I was reading these as, like, Ms. Marvel is a young Pakistani.
It gave him wood.
Yeah. Is that what Groot is? He's just a... Anyway. So, I don't know. Like, secretive... There's, like, a zombie... There's going to be, like, a zombie series in...
Oh, here's one called Middling Jedi.
Dude, if only. Yeah, yeah. The Office.
I think this is one of the best ideas we've ever come up with. Other than celebrating a goal at a Sounders match by shooting a fish through an engine, which is actually something someone else came up with. Okay. So, this is one of our best ideas yet.
I don't know. Okay. I think it reminds me of the line, The Incredibles, which in my opinion is one of the best superhero movies ever made. The Incredibles, one of the lines by Syndrome, the main villain, is when everyone is super, no one will be. That is where Marvel has gone. Every single person, including every single, like, famous actor that you know at this point, like Oscar Isaac is going to be in it. It's only a matter of time until Timothy Chalamet, who is in everything these days, is going to be like young Doctor Strange. Right, like, at this point, all of these things are everybody is super. Every single person in the entire Marvel cinematic universe is a superhero. Even, like, middling Jedi is going to be, like, the background character when
played by John Cena.
Like, yes, but, like, I always think about this in movies when, like, a building gets destroyed, right? Like, the collateral damage from all of the battles between the superheroes, right? Like,
The Incredibles, again, touched on that very well.
Right. Like, there's all of these people in the background who you don't see, who are just dying.
Oh, my taco shop!
They're just dying off screen, right? Yeah. Like, all of those people are at this point going to be, like, small level Marvel superheroes or, like, middling Jedi.
So I was watching Shang-Chi, and, like, there's just a fight scene on some scaffolding, and there's, like, the bad guys that are, you know, you don't know anything about them. And he's just, like, beating people up, and they're just falling to their deaths on the ground. Like, someone has to come around and be like, well, that's a lot of dead bodies that have exploded on the concrete. Like, we better clean this up.
I want to see Detective Jedi as the sequel to this being like, huh, another exploded body on the ground. Got to get to the bottom of this.
Which super did this?
Police Chief Jedi, you're out of line exploring these bodies.
Master Chief, it's another crossover! A mineral that researchers thought would be impossible to find has indeed been dug up from far beneath the measly puny surface of our space ball that we call Earth. It's a type of diamond, and it made me think of you when I read this, because it's 400 miles below the surface. And I have no idea how we get there to do that other than whatever the premise of the movie The Core is. Yeah. Send that snake, the subway car down there to get it, maybe a nuke or something like that.
Do you mean that they developed a metal that converts high amounts of heat into electricity, so basically turning this massive drilling worm into a big electric vehicle that goes to nuke the center of the Earth? Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah. Only instead of nuke, they're going to go mine for Earth diamonds. I guess it takes a ton of pressure to heat up, and it forms, like, again, 400 miles below the surface. That's, like, intense. It's, like, further than Spokane to Seattle.
That's further than space is from the crust of the Earth.
What?
Isn't the Kármán line?
Yeah, the Kármán line is, like, well, I can't even remember.
It's, like, 100 kilometers.
Yeah, okay.
So
yeah, it's, like, four times deeper. I don't know. Yes, I can't do the conversions off the top of my head, but... But yeah, you're right. From launching from Kennedy Space Center to Earth or to space is closer than going 400 miles deep to get these diamonds. And I guess they thought that as the diamonds would surface, they would break up because they couldn't hold their structure. And so they would come apart and you would find the different pieces, the component pieces of it. But somebody was able to excavate one somehow. And all I can think about when I hear this is, like, I hope that there's like an engagement ring industry amongst like the lava monsters that are inside the like 400 feet down or below.
The mole people.
Or at least, yeah, the lava mole people. Yeah, yeah. Or at least some sort of like diamond drip that would look good, you know? Like, I hope that there's like an industry for like a hip hop scene yeah, or something like that.
The rap scene, the mole people rap
of the 2005, yeah. Like, there's like 50 Cent, the equivalent is down there yeah. with Lamborghini doors on his lava monster special metal core digging machine. Yeah, yeah. That's a good rap song. Anyway, I saw that and I was like, with all the talk about, I saw the core on TV the other day and sent a picture to Brandon about it.
It's,
to be like,
this is, okay, so this is all going to be related because look, that we've discovered that there are diamonds 400 plus miles below the earth. I think we didn't discover them. They've just finally found a way to dig them up. In the core, right? The movie The Core from 2004, I think, or 2003, they need to go nuke the molten chocolate center of the earth in order to get it to spin again so that way the solar flares don't destroy our planet. Yes, this is a real plot to a real movie starring Two-Face Harvey Dent slash Aaron Eckhart. But what do they do in order to do that? When you think of having to go to the center of the earth, you would think, okay, let's send some miners or some drillers down. No, they send two NASA astronauts, pilots to get down to the center of the earth. Okay, we need to blow up an asteroid in space, as is the plot of Armageddon. Who do we send? NASA astronauts? No, we send the guys who we should have sent to the core to nuke the middle of the planet to go nuke the asteroid.
They got the writing crossed, right? Yeah. What if they like ran into each other and just dropped the papers everywhere, and then they just picked them up and kept going? Yeah. Like, well, this isn't what I had yeah. written, but I'm too embarrassed to say anything, so I guess we're going with it.
We need to go establish a colony on Mars. Who are we going to send? Detective Jedi.
So Lego last week rolled out a new set that had the internet very perky, just like all nips, right? It's the Ultimate Collector's Series Imperial Walker, an AT-AT, made legend. And I guess we should have talked about this sooner when we were talking about Star Wars, but made legend in the Ice Planet one. What was that one called? Oh. Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
6,000 pieces to make this thing come together, which I think is right around the same as the Millennium Falcon, the Ultimate Collector Series Millennium Falcon.
It was like something like 827 pieces less than the Millennium Falcon, which is still the most pieces to of all of the Star Wars kind of Lego.
Well,
Lego
luckily
things.
The price tag does not follow the same suit. This is more expensive than the Millennium Falcon with a price tag of $800. Now, it's huge.
For Legos.
And it looks cool. But yeah, it's like, I like Legos, don't get me wrong. I mean, obviously, this is marketed towards someone with a job, stable career, that has a little bit of disposable income that they can waste so that way they don't have any way to retire. Yeah, I mean, that's me.
You're right. They were definitely thinking of podcasters and radio hosts when they were thinking of marketing this.
The host of Nerd Talk is who they're thinking
yeah,
of. The 40-year-old freaking guy with a little bit of extra coin that he can throw around on pretending like he's not getting old, right?
Brag. you're right. Like, what this makes me think of is A, obviously, yeah, too expensive. But B, if you were to think about, this thing has 6,000 pieces, right? The Millennium mm-hmm. Falcon Lego thing has like 6,000, almost 6,100 pieces, okay? The replica, not replica, the Death Star Lego toy has a crap load of pieces as well. Now, the thing about this AT-AT thing is that it can fit 40 actual like stormtrooper Lego characters in there, along cool. with like speeder bikes, and it's supposed to be a scale version of like, it's supposed to be like, yes, this is how many people could have actually fit in the actual AT-AT that exists in a fictional universe. Detective Jedi can figure that out. I guess the question that I have is, if that is that big, the Millennium Falcon is as big as it is, and the Lego Death Star set is as big as it is, my sense of scale of like how big things are in the Star Wars universe is like, that's no moon. How big was the AT-AT actually?
That's no moon. It's a basketball.
I mean, I guess these things obviously are in scale compared to each other, but it would be funny if they were.
I wonder what the Millennium Falcon versus the AT-AT, like what the size actually is, if you said it. We should get into measuring this. Call the
weird
archivist
unit conversion.
Coming up. Now, movie theater chain AMC, imagine being in that business, first of all, like, yikes. The movie theater chain AMC will now let you pay for your films in Bitcoin. And I'm like, why would you do this? $14 now in like is like $30 by the same time next year. Bitcoin is on such an exponential like growth that like, you know, it hit 10,000 5 years ago and now it's at $65,000 per Bitcoin.
Wow.
Just a few years later. It's like ridiculous year-over-year growth. It's like so nuts to me. And I don't understand anything about this, but I like understand when numbers get big real fast that that's like if it's going to benefit your bank account, that is a good thing, right? So why would you, not AMC, they're smart in this, why would you, the consumer, hand over the Bitcoin in order to do this? Like, I know it's cute and all, but like just send me the Bitcoin and I'll buy the ticket for you with my normal money.
Yeah.
That doesn't increase like that.
I mean, yeah, for AMC it makes sense because it's like, give us a Bitcoin that's going to be worth way, way more than it is right now. Maybe this is AMC's way of being like, hey, everybody, you should go watch The Eternals, which I guess was not that great. You should go watch The Eternals for one Bitcoin. And also, by the time that, by a year from now, this movie will actually have been profitable because of all of the tickets that we sold with Bitcoin.
Also, one Bitcoin worth $65,000. So that's an expensive seat to the when you have to pay one Bitcoin.
Yeah, pay one, you know, fraction, one decimal of a Bitcoin.
It's like five decimals down or something like that. It's crazy. Yeah. I was just looking at it earlier. Anyway, okay. Well, that brings us to the point about the imperial versus metric debate. Which one you would rather have? And I think we both are on the same page that we would want it to be metric.
Yeah. I think I want
base 10 is so much easier if you can just go 100 of something is
I would
let's call it the next thing.
I would love to have the metric system if I wasn't already 30 years old. Like at this point. But I'm terrible at estimating just about anything. I want to know if you're like this too, because if like something is 100 is a mile away, right? And you ask me to walk a mile and stop when I think I've hit a mile, I would be like, I have no freaking idea. Like, I can't estimate that. I don't know if it'd be any better if somebody said walk a kilometer, like walk 1,000 feet, but that does seem easier to me to estimate than walking, you know, what is a mile?
It'd be 53. It'd be 1,000 meters.
Sorry, 1,000 meters. Yeah, thank you.
A kilo. Yeah, meter.
Or 5,328 feet for a mile, right? Or whatever it is. Yeah. But even just like estimating those types of things, it seems so difficult.
You'd be counting the whole time because you'd be like soccer reffing it, where you're trying to count out the 10 yards to 10 meters to set up a free kick, and you have to take the same length step every time. It'd be tough. I'm bad at estimating volume. If you say how many M&Ms can fit in this, I don't know, like Vaseline jar, like I don't have any idea. The look that you gave me is amazing.
Just,
I love it.
I feel like you looked around your desk and you were like, empty Vaseline jar.
I was going to say bowl, okay, but I didn't. So
why do you have a on your desk?
Anyway, I can't do that, but if you need me to do distance, like I can on the fly convert kilometers to miles per hour.
Yeah, okay.
It's just a thing that I can do. It's just my brain works that way, taking units and comparing them against each other. I would embrace metric because it would be such a beneficial thing for people like my wife, who has no concept of how any numbers work because it's base 12 and not intuitive.
Yeah. Like, what is let's see, if you're measuring temperature in Celsius, does it count as being part of the metric system, or is that a separate system of measuring temperature that also happens to be base 10?
Yeah, I think that's, I don't know, because the British also can, the British only do C.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either, but I think that like that is another version of measurement that I think that I wish that the U.S. would switch to, because like 100 degrees and 0 degrees, like 0 degrees being freezing, 100 degrees being boiling, like it all makes so much sense. The only thing that I do know about the conversion between Celsius and Fahrenheit is that negative 40 is the same in both.
Is it negative 40?
Yeah. I know this because I have friends that live in northern Canada who constantly reach minus 40 every winter, and it's the same in both Celsius and Fahrenheit.
Well, you can forget converting units to metric, because we have a way better way to do this, okay? This argument is over, this debate, because now you can do stuff with Omni's weird units calculator. Just curious how many giraffes tall you are? You can figure that out. I'm not even one, just for the record.
Shocking.
A baby giraffe, freshly born, hatched, or whatever they do, is the same height as me. So I'm one baby giraffe.
Okay. That's, hey, you know what? That actually really, that helps me better than meters or feet or centimeters or anything like that. Because, like, understanding that if I were to see a baby giraffe on, like, a documentary or something, I'd be like,
hey,
that's one Gregor tall. Like, that actually does something for me. That, like, relativizes it for me.
Hey, Brandon, how far away, how many baguettes away is your job from your house?
Well, zero, because I work inside my house, but that is a really useful, because I know a baguette is something that I use frequently. Don't ask me how.
Hey, guy, how many Big Macs do you weigh? Whoa, this is depressing. I weigh 468.
468 Big Macs?
Yeah, how many is that in bees?
You know what's really helpful?
Because they have a measurement for that, too.
Okay. Wait, the weight of bees? Actually, you know what's really interesting is to know that one baby giraffe weighs 478 Big Macs. Wait, okay.
You get it.
No, I know how tall. I know that you're one baby giraffe tall. I don't know how many baby giraffes you weigh.
They're probably way more muscular than me, so I probably don't weigh quite one baby giraffe.
I do know that I'm something like, let's see, what was it? I was like 8 million,
I weigh 900,000 bees, just for the record.
Okay. I was something like 0.005 years old compared to the oldest tree ever. It's actually a very interesting, so it's called omnicalculator.com/conversion. You can go find it there, and it's got all sorts of different conversions and things. So, like, if you, okay, there's a conversion for thickness. Okay.
Nope.
I'm doing, how many baby Groots thick am I? How many baby Groots thick is freshman nope. Spider-Man?
No.
But you can find out how many sheets of paper, how many onion skins thick is something.
So I looked up the distance between your house and mine, okay. Approximately, okay. Seattle to Spokane, and it's like 4,300 football fields.
Whoa.
But, okay, that's hard to imagine even, right? But I can imagine Marshawn Lynch running a football field 4,300 times. Yeah. Like, he could probably get there pretty quick, whatever. Well, a few years ago, he's probably way out of shape compared to that now, because but then I started thinking about how many Death Stars away is that? Not a measurement that they offer for distance, but I looked it up, and the Death Star is 100 kilometers wide, and I was like, whoa, hey yo, like, Spokane's about 400 miles away, or 400 kilometers away.
So that's like four death, that's huge.
Yeah, the Death Star is freaking massive.
That means,
previous example.
That means, like, what we were talking about is if you put the Death Star at sea level, on Earth, that the very top of the space of the Death Star would be space. It would be the Kármán line, right? So if you took
weird,
if
it landed,
right? Yeah, did the can the Death Star land?
No.
And they built it out there, out there in space. But it's just massive. Like, that's insanely huge. But it's also not so big that that means that we are four Kármán lines away from each other.
Hey, that's nice.
You could go to space four times, or you could go to Spokane.
Well, it's significantly cheaper. Does Jeff Bezos meet me at Spokane when I get there?
Yeah. Yep. Yep, and he gives you a cowboy hat, which, funny enough, is the same in both Spokane or space.
All right, well, it's time that we wrap this thing up and cover what we learned this week. After all, this is a very heady show.
Yep. All right, Gregor, We learned a lot, obviously, specifically that you're the size of one giraffe. One baby giraffe. The height of one baby giraffe. But what else did we learn this week?
I might not be quite as many Big Macs heavy, though.
Let's hope not.
Okay. I learned that that Groot in gym class is all wood. And Brandon, what did we learn this week?
I learned that Detective Jedi debuts after an all-new middling Jedi at 6, 9 central.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!
Hey, join us every week at 10 a.m. here on Tuesdays. Is that what it is? Tuesday at 10 a.m. for another Nerd Talk Plus, where we get ridiculous and it always gets so wienery. Why are we so immature?
Is that immature?
I mean, we both have them. I guess that's fair.
Hashtag wiener tough.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Some people follow the rules. I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.